Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Hey, welcome back into the House of Mystery, and I'm Al Warren. I am called the, what was I called on the last show there? Can't remember. Oh, it was a noodle whore. I'm the noodle whore. All the way from the West. And from the East, we have the great.
The great?
The great David North Martini.
Oh.
Well, you know, with somebody no has to. Somebody has to have the drinks. So
that's right.
Breaking the rules already. I'm being mean. Well, we've got another great show lined up for you to finish off the week. We've got a writer today, and her latest book is Viper's Nest of Lies.
Ooh,
that sounds exciting. And so our author is the writer, Daniela Burnett. Thank you for being here.
Hi, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Hopefully you're happy at the end of the show. We never know. Well, this sounds like quite the mystery here, quite the what kind of writing would you classify this?
I would, well, most of my, all of my books are a cross between mysteries and thrillers. They're I wouldn't categorize them as cozy. So it's they also have a lot of spy aspects to them and thefts of jewels. So lots going on in all the books.
Well, that's kind of an interesting area. So what draws you to write about these kind of heists or spies or these kind of thrillers, I guess, you know, jewel thieves and stuff? What led you to that kind of category?
Well, I've been an avid reader since I was a little kid, and my mother got my sister and me hooked on mysteries and thrillers when we were very young. So I like that genre. And also in terms of movies, the same thing, spy thrillers, World War II thrillers, those all appeal to me. So when I sat down to write my own books, that's what I wanted to write. And my two protagonists are Emmeline Kirby, who's a journalist, and her husband, who is Gregory Longdon, who is a quote-unquote former jewel thief because now he has a legitimate job as an insurance investigator. But he hasn't given up the thrill of the game yet, and he still steals jewels. So that adds another dynamic. But she doesn't know, so we're not going to tell her that, otherwise she's going to kill him.
Oh, we got murder in here already. Well,
what's life without some murder?
Well, this is true. This is true. Certainly, there's a lot of it that goes around. Well, when you do this, okay. So this is you call it Emmeline Kirby and Gregory Longdon mystery. So is this kind of part of a series, and this going to be part of a longer series?
This is a series. Viper's Nest of Lies is book 7 in the series.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize. So book 7. So when you're writing a series like that, mm-hmm. have you outlined all of the books ahead of time, and you kind of know where you're going to go with these two, or is this something that just sort of happens as is per book?
No, I don't outline, but I do like to plot my stories out before I start writing. So at least I have that basic skeleton of the plot to follow. You know, I may get a great idea along the way and I add that in, but at least I know I know who the killer is from the outset. So I know how to proceed with the story and plot the red herrings as well, because those are important. But I wanted to write a series from the beginning, so I knew my two characters, so I would develop little things in each book. So I would put something in book 1, leave a little nugget, develop it a little bit more in book 2, because I knew how I wanted to proceed later on. When I wrote book 1, Lead Me Into Danger, I had the idea for the first few books in my head before I even started writing that one. Because I was thinking in terms of a series, and I wanted my characters to grow and evolve as each book progressed.
When you're writing a series, when you've got a couple of characters like this, how is it that you keep track of what they go through? Because when you get into book 7, how mm-hmm. they act and react to different things and what they're mm-hmm. and the development of them, you have to be very careful about that, right? That you don't miss something or forget something, or something has to change. Do you have a pattern of doing that, or?
Well, actually, it's all in my head. I remember, you know, because as I said, you know, from the beginning, I knew what I wanted each of them to go through emotionally, in terms of growing as a character and evolving more, their interactions with each other in terms of clashes and just in terms of common ground, that was all very important to me. So it's all in my head.
Oh, well, then you must have a close relationship. What is your relationship with these two characters?
Oh, they're part of me. I mean, I think any author will tell you that your characters are a bit of yourself in some way. Or maybe it's like you wanted to how you wanted to react in a certain situation. So you get a second chance to do that when you're writing a character. Or in terms of Emmeline, you know, I admire her greatly because she's very sure of herself, which I'm not. I'm very self-conscious. The only thing is she's reckless. But all of us have our foibles and our admirable qualities. And, you know, I wanted to instill that in each of them because that's just the way people are in real life. That's human nature. So everybody is not all good or all bad. You know, we all have our faults and good qualities. So I wanted to portray that in the books in my characters.
Well, that's interesting. So when you are putting yourself in the character, how much are you willing to expose about yourself? Like, because when you do that and people read it, they're learning something about you as well.
Okay, well, I'm not going to tell you deep, dark secrets. The only thing that Emmeline and I share is that she has a short temper and she's impatient, and that's exactly me. In terms of anything else, I'm not going to divulge my secrets.
Well, are you drawing from... I know you have a journalism degree.
Yes.
I'm assuming you weren't a jewel thief.
No, I'm not. But you know, it's the thrill of that. A jewel thief is a criminal. That's granted, because that's a crime. But it's not like a murderer or a serial killer or a bomber, you know. So it's a thief. But, you know, Gregory, for example, he's a thief. He's a gentleman. And like Emmeline, he has a certain code of honor, and they both think murder is taboo, and the culprit should pay for the crime. So, you know, maybe it's a little bit like Cary Grant in To Catch a Thief, you know, the gentle thief.
And the location that you have these in, I understand it's European pretty much. It's UK-based.
Yes.
Do you find that you have to go to the locations to get a feel? Is that important to you?
Well, a lot of people have asked me that. I love to travel, and I love learning new things when I travel. But I don't travel to do my research. It's more that when I am somewhere, a place has made a certain impression on me, and that sparks an idea in my head. I mean, oftentimes I'm somewhere and I think, oh, this is a good place to find a dead body. but in terms of location is, in terms of setting, is very important to me. It's like another character, and it helps to propel the plot, and it sets a certain mood. Both of my characters, Emmeline and Gregory, they're British, and the books take place in the UK and in Europe. I mean, they live in London, but the books have taken place in other parts of the UK and in Europe. Like this new book, Viper's Nest of Lies, is set in London and Malta. So that's in terms of setting is very important to me in my books. And I want to transmit to my readers, and I hope that I am, for them to get a feel of the places I've seen, like they're walking in my shadow, with how I describe the setting in the books.
So is your setting or your location actually a character in itself?
It is. I think so. I think it's important, because different areas propel different ideas in my head, and like certain places like would be good for a jewel theft. Another place would be good for Emmeline and Gregory to hopefully have a vacation, but they never seem to be able to do that because they always wind up getting involved in some tangled web.
Now, I'm wondering how you kind of internally process these characters. Do you have an inner monologue? Can you hear the characters in your head? Do you see more images and symbols when you're translating this to the page?
I can often hear them in my head, and you're going to laugh, but oftentimes I wake up in the middle of the night because I think of a good line of dialogue.
Mm. So
get up and write it down quickly. Otherwise, if I wait till morning, it'll go poof into the atmosphere.
It vanishes, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you consider these characters to you? Like when I talk to a lot of writers that do fiction, they will say, like, you know, they compare them as their kids. It's like my kids. It's like my family. So it's like, what do you classify them as?
No, I get. I mean, I think that to a certain extent, that's right. That your family or friends, because I know instinctively how each of them would react in a certain situation, or how they would react to one another because of their temperaments. I know how they would react. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a family or a friend, a close friend, you know that because you know the person. You know, they're like I said before, characters are a part of each author, except for in my case, I'm not one. So you can keep that in mind.
Well, I was wondering, too, I know you plot out these stories at least to a certain extent, but has a character ever done anything to surprise you? Have they just, like, kind of gone off the rails and decided they were just going to do what they wanted to do and against what you really wanted them to do within the story?
Not really. I have total control.
That's perfect.
I have total control.
Well, that's really kind of where do you get your extra characters, like the characters that surround these two main protagonists? Like, are they from people you've met somewhere or you've seen in a coffee shop, or where do you sort of get these other characters?
Well, you know, in terms of when I wrote the series, you know, I wanted to have amateur sleuths as the protagonists, because there are a lot of series out there, great series with the police detective as the main character. However, the law puts certain constraints on a police officer with amateur sleuths, they're also investigating a crime, but they have more leeway, more flexibility. So in my books, I have Gregory and Emmeline on the one side of the amateur sleuth. And then on the other side, I have Superintendent Oliver Burnell and Sergeant Finch of Scotland Yard, and also Philip Atchison of the Foreign Office, who purportedly he works for the Foreign Office, but he's really an MI5 agent. So I balance out the gravitas of the law with the amateur sleuth, and I have them mix with one another towards, you know, they come from different directions, and ultimately to solve the crime.
So is there some sort of a theme that you've got running through this, or maybe underlying in the story?
Well, a theme that I tend to go back to a lot, because it's very exciting, is Russian spies and espionage. And of course, because we have Gregory, we have to keep his attention. We have thefts of diamonds, a ruby necklace in another book. So, you know, we have to keep Gregory excited as well.
What's your influence on this type of writing? Where do you draw from?
Various, I mean, newspaper articles, you know, World War II spy stories, real stories, movies, and lots of things influence me. But I've always liked that genre. It's the intrigue that gets me. You know, for me, the mysteries have always been about the puzzle. You know, I don't need to know how many blood and guts were spilled everywhere. It's like why the crime was committed. That's what's important to me. And then how does the sleuth or sleuths get to that point to solve that crime, because the reader has to have an answer somehow. You can't leave the reader hanging.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, that's important. So I wonder, so where did it all start for you? How did you decide that you wanted to be a writer?
Oh, it started when I was 9 years old in fourth grade. My fourth grade teacher, she had creative writing hour once a week, and she gave us different assignments, and I just loved it. I was like, I knew that's what I wanted to do. So then I studied journalism when I was in college, because that was the natural progression for me. I never was a journalist, but in my field, I was the editor of the paper, a newsletter for a trade organization I work for, or writing articles for my firm. So I always was writing somehow. I never practiced as a journalist, though.
What was the catalyst that made you actually decide that you felt like you were good enough to publish something?
Okay. Well, writing for me, writing is like breathing. I just have to do it. So in the 4 months, when I graduated from college, in the 4 months before I found my first job, I wrote a mystery novel. And my first job was at Penguin USA, the publisher. And then when I was at Penguin, one day I got up the courage and I approached one of the editors there about my marriage. And she was very nice. She actually read the manuscript and she told me it was better than what she saw from a lot of first-time writers, but I had to think more in terms of a series. So I tried revising that book and it just didn't work out, and I chalked it up to a good exercise. And then slowly, slowly, I kept thinking about a series, and like in the back of my mind, the kernel for Emmeline and Gregory started to formulate in the back of my mind, until one day I said, here I am, I'm ready. And I started writing Lead Me Into Danger, the first book in the series.
So where do you plan on going with this, like with this series? Like, do you know how many books you're going to do with these two?
No, I don't. A lot of people have asked me that. No, I don't know how many books. It's I'm going for right now. They Emmeline and Gregory still have a hold on me. So I still have lots of ideas percolating in the back of my mind. But I will continue with them until I can't think of any more trouble to involve them in. But at this stage, I'm not sure how many books that will be in the series. I'm just finishing a book 8 to start on book 9. So that's where things stand at the moment.
Hmm. So when you look back at your first writing of this series and others like it, I wonder, do you ever look back and think, oh, I wished I would have wrote it differently, like change this or do this? Or do you do that as a writer?
Not in terms of the plot, but, you know, maybe like in terms of the language, I think to myself, maybe I could have refined that a little bit more, but not in terms of the plot, because as I mentioned before, I knew how I wanted the series to proceed in each book when I sat down to write that first word in book 1.
Did you ever want to explore any other types of writing?
Well, maybe, you know, when Emmeline and Gregory finally let go of their hold on me, maybe I'll think of in terms of, I've always liked historical fiction, so maybe I'll do a historical fiction, a mystery series, you know, maybe set in World War II, that's a period that intrigues me, or the Victorian era. Those are possibilities, you know, maybe I might spin off something, you know, one of the characters from this series, but, those are still like fuzzy in the back of my mind now, because I'm focusing on Emmeline and Gregory.
Hmm. It's an interesting, when you've got, that sort of, hold or connection with your characters. It's just, I guess that doesn't leave you a lot of places to go. If someone's never read anything from you,
yes,
before, they've never heard of you before,
yes,
what would you say is the one book that they should get to kind of get to know you?
Well, you know, each of my books, they can, even though they're part of the series, they can stand alone, because I put backstory in the book, so that if somebody's picking up book 4 and they haven't read the others, they will be able to follow along just fine. But if readers want to see how Emmeline and Gregory developed, then to start with book 1, Lead Me Into Danger. But in terms of which book is, we shouldn't, as authors, we shouldn't have favorites. But in terms of which one is my favorite is When Blood Runs Cold, book 5. And I think my second favorite is this new one, Viper's Nest of Lies.
Any other authors out there you'd like to work with?
Like to work with in terms of living, or I wish I had met them.
Well, probably both are good questions, but okay. I mean, you're probably not going to work with the dead one. But
no, but as anyone will tell you, Agatha Christie is my hero, and I wish I could have met her, because I think I would have learned so much. I learned so much by reading her books, but to have met her in person would have been a thrill, to say the least. But in terms of authors nowadays, I do have I've made friends with some mystery authors. But in terms of someone that I would love to work with or meet in person, the British authors, Anthony Horowitz or Jeffrey Archer, I would love to meet them, because I love their books, and they both know how to put twists and turns in there that just leave the reader breathless. So I'd love to meet them in person.
After writing a novel, do you have a way to recharge or relax, or do you just go on to the next book?
I usually take a couple of months off in between each book, just to let the next one steep in my mind before I start writing it.
How do I say this now? So, no, I'm thinking. Yeah, of course. But I'm thinking about your characters, and I'm thinking about you and stuff like that. Explain to maybe your listeners, or to the listeners, our listeners, what you hope to happen to your characters. Like, you know, you've got a close relationship with them in here. Mm-hmm. So do you get to decide, because you said you had full control, but do you really get to decide where they're going to go? Or is it something, is your more emotion, or is this more brain thought? You know what I'm saying?
I think, writing has to be a combination of the two, thinking with your brain, but it has to be emotional too, because in terms of mysteries, you know, a lot of crimes are emotional crimes, you know, jealousy, love, greed, you know, you have to weave that into the story. So it has to be a little bit of both, the emotional side for why the crime was committed, and the analytical side to come to the point to resolve the crime.
Now, and you really like the UK and UK writers,
yes.
It seems like. Do you think there's a reason for that?
I don't know. I've been an Anglophile since I was very little. I, you know, read books about England, watched TV programs. It just, the country, the culture, the landscape just appeals to me. I cannot tell you why, you know, like a lot of things, you know, why someone likes peanut butter as opposed to grape jelly. It's just England. I just have an affinity for the UK.
Now, that's pretty interesting. Maybe you were there in your past life.
Perhaps I was. Well, you know what? It was funny because when I was going to London for the first time, because I had read so much and had seen so many programs, when I got to London, I knew exactly where I wanted to go. I knew where Hyde Park was. I knew what was next to Hyde Park because I had been there before so many times, reading and watching programs and so forth.
That's pretty interesting, you know. Do you find yourself getting into your character situation? So do you kind of play it out in your mind how they would be and where they go and stuff like that, what they're wearing and all of that? Is that important to you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, you have to do, as a writer, you have to be able to do that, to get into their mindset where you're dropping them into a certain situation. You have to be there. It's like, well, Emmeline is going to scream, or Gregory is going to run this way. You have to be in their mindset to be able to direct them in the scene.
Yeah.
React to people or the situation.
Yeah, it's pretty. So, do you do a lot of research on the areas as well, like on the parts that you make sure you get everything right, like the details?
Well, a lot of the place I featured in the books, I've been there. If I need to follow up, you know, with a certain detail, I would look that up. But since I've been there, I know. That's why I'm able to describe the places for my readers. So I have that, that gives it a flavor of authenticity to help the story move along.
Yeah. Now, do you like to interact with your readers a lot?
Oh, I love it. I love doing readings. I find it, I love doing the reading itself and then taking questions from readers afterwards. That's why I was so disappointed last year with COVID and so on. I couldn't do my usual reading and so on. I could only go to the store, sign their stack of books. But I love doing the readings and getting people's reactions, you know, about the characters, about the stories, just, you know, whatever, if they have any dislikes, which I hope not. And I haven't heard any dislikes from anyone. But I do like interacting with the readers.
Do you read anything or have any influences that might be surprising to fans?
I read almost anything except science fiction and horror, because I like that. But pretty much everything, you know, I read historical fiction, mysteries and thrillers, biographies. I'm interested in everything. And I think as an author, you have to be, because you have to broaden your mind to be able to create your own story. And authors in themselves, they're readers at heart, because, you know, for me, I fell in love with the written word. So you have to be a reader and to read many different things to be able to write your own story.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, do you have a place that you like readers to come and communicate? Do you have like a website, or are you doing social media? What's the best way to kind of interact?
Well, I have my website. It's DaniellaBurnett.com, and there's an email address if somebody wants to drop me a little note. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Goodreads, and I'm on BookBub. I don't do Twitter.
Okay, well, Twitter can be up and down.
I don't have the courage for Twitter, but I'm on Facebook if somebody wants to leave me a note on Facebook, or as I said, on my website, DaniellaBurnett.com, there's an email address where if somebody wants to send me a note.
Right. We'll have that connected to our website as well, so people can find you.
That's nice.
You know, listeners and stuff like that. How did you find COVID for writing and stuff? Do you find when tensions are strong and stressful things are going on around you in the world that you do you get lost and escaped in your writing, or do you find that it interferes with writing?
Well, because I was working from home because of the lockdown, I had a bit more time to write, because I didn't have that, you know, hour commute in the morning, hour commute in the evening. So I had more time to write. And writing, you know, it is like breathing. So it was an escape for me, because my father did pass away last year in April, not from COVID, but he did pass away. And I found that writing did help me a bit. So, yeah.
Well, I just wondered if, but, you know, when things are going on like that in the world, if it kind of creates a little bit of tension in your writing, or maybe it gets a little darker.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think that's the case. But it does help me in terms, if there is tension out there, it does help me to focus and channel everything within me, that just creating that, you know, being able to drop into that fictional world to escape, because my books hopefully are an escape for readers, and they're an escape for me from the real world, all my troubles for the day.
Yeah, no, hopefully it does. Well, it's certainly an interesting conversation with you today, and we appreciate
you
coming by.
Yes, I've had fun.
And the book we're talking about, of course, is Viper's Nest of Lies.
Yes.
And our guest is the author, Daniella Burnett. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you. I've had a very enjoyable conversation with the two of you, and I hope to be back again maybe in the future sometime.
Oh, for sure. Thank you.
Thanks,
Daniella.
Tired of wasting time trying to decide what to watch on your streaming service? Go to our website and look for the Martino Movie Reviews.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
The mission has been completed.
The end!
By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll see you.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.